Good morning, everybody. Brian Newber here again, live once again here at home. It is Monday, June 1st. This is your GoldenBlack.com daily quarantine simulcast for today, most likely our last week doing this. It is brought to you by Fouts Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Chargers Team Remax Ability Plus. I want to remind you once again, if you're looking for a great dinner or simply support our local businesses through the hopefully the final few stages of this very difficult time in all of our history, please keep in mind the East End Grill, 6th Street Dive, Arnie's, Bruno's, the Whitaker Inn, and Triple X. They'd all love to hear from you. I'd love for them to hear from you as well. So please keep them in mind. If you're accessing this video on YouTube, please hit that subscribe button sometime, hopefully soon. The world will begin to spin on its axis again. We will continue to have a steady flow of stuff that's not Brian Newbert monologue coming across there. That will be a joyous day for all of us, and you'll want to access that as soon as possible. This, I've been doing this for the last couple months here, and every day I've been talking about a Purdue topic, a sports topic, whatever it may be. There are days, you know, in jobs like this where it just seems so silly, so inane, so tone deaf, so futile to be talking about something silly like ranking Purdue's basketball roster 1 through 13 by free throw form, you know, stuff like that. It just seems so not worthwhile. Today, we're not going to talk about sports. Today, we're going to talk about all that's going on in America. We're going to talk about George Floyd. If you're not into that sort of thing, if you're one of those stick to sports people, please spare me and please feel free to opt out now. We'll be back tomorrow with more hard-hitting ranking of Purdue's basketball roster 1 through 13 by free throw form. I want to tell a story first off. I'm not here to co-opt anyone's outrage. I'm not here to preach. I'm not here to whatever term you want to use. I just feel like sometimes there are things that are more important than what we do, and I consider it to be my social responsibility to speak out when there are things to be spoken out about. And I think obviously this is something of great concern for our country. This is a very important matter. And I wanted to start off by telling a little story. And I don't want to make myself sound like any sort of victim here, because certainly I was not. But it is a story that kind of resonates with me a little bit. Many years ago, probably 15 years ago, a long time ago now, I'm getting pretty old. I'm getting very old. Probably 15 years ago, I was doing what I did when I was a younger man, and I was driving through the night from Chicago to Columbus, Ohio. I cannot remember exactly what was going on in Chicago. It was a football recruiting event of some kind, if I recall correctly, which I do not. Columbus would have been, I think, Purdue's basketball team was playing there the next day. I think I was driving on US 30, and it was Van Wert, Ohio, I think, the outskirts of Van Wert, Ohio. I was driving through the night, very late at night, one of those pitch black nights, pitch black, where when a police car's lights go on, you can see it from miles and miles and miles away. One of those kind of nights. Okay, I was driving my boss's forest green Ford Explorer at the time. That was our company car. That's why I was driving it. I had just come off a series of speed-related infractions in my life that put me in a position where had I gotten one more speeding ticket, I was going to be in the jackpot for probably $1,200. Now, $1,200 to this day remains a lot of money for me. $1,200 back then was a hell of a lot of money for me. Had I gotten one more speeding ticket, I was in hot water. Hot, hot water. And for that reason, at this time in my life, I drove like an old lady. I probably still do. All due respect to old ladies, but my whole mantra at the time was no more than 4 miles an hour over the speed limit. You do not hit that next denomination of five. So I was Captain Cruise Control. If I was driving in a 65 mile an hour speed zone, I was going 69. If I was in a 70, I was going 74. You get the picture. So I'm driving down this pitch black highway, okay, and I'm on cruise control, and I know this for a fact because I remember it like it was yesterday. As soon as the lights went on behind me, first thing I did was I looked down at my cruise control, and where I was from a speed perspective. And I know for a fact I was 4 miles an hour over the speed limit. I was speeding, but if you're pulling me over for 4 miles an hour over the speed limit, that's bullshit. Pardon my French. I get pulled over, okay? Stupidly, foolishly, egregiously stupidly, what I do is I am reaching for the glove box and I am fishing around for the registration. Not my car, remember. I didn't know at this time where things were. I've got my hand concealed in the glove box looking for the registration, which I never find. I don't know where it was. I don't remember that version of the story. But the police officer walks up to my window, cannot see my right hand, mind you. Okay? Cannot see my right hand. First off, nothing happens. I explain to him, he tells me I was driving a little fast. I explain to him that this, he asked me if this was my car. I tell him, no, this is not my car. He asked me whose car was it. I explained to him it was my boss's car. I'm driving to a sporting event in Columbus, Ohio the next day. Okay, great. I could have been completely, that could have been a complete line. That could have been complete crap that I was telling him. I had no proof I told him this was not my car. I had no proof that this actually was, you know, my employer's car. And I stupidly had my hand in the glove compartment when he walked up to my car. Our exchange lasted probably no more than 60 seconds, to the point where I'm not even sure I saw the officer's face cleanly. What ended up happening, remind you, I have no registration. I have no proof that this, of whose car this is. I did the stupid thing with my hand when the officer walked up to my window. Our exchange lasted no more than 60 seconds, probably, at which time I didn't get a warning. I didn't get a ticket. I was handed, and I swear to God this is true, I was handed a piece of paper, a pamphlet, if you will, just with a friendly reminder about wearing your seatbelt and driving the speed limit. That's all it was. I've never seen anything like this in my life. If anybody's heard of this sort of thing, please let me know to make sure that this wasn't some sort of bizarro world sort of thing that happened to me here. I wanted to call the following Monday up to the police station up there just to ask, is this something you guys normally do? I've never heard of this. What the hell? I got off for doing nothing, but I drove away. Went on my way, went to Columbus, obviously, got done what I needed to get done. I was a little bit annoyed. I was a little bit mad because obviously I felt like I was pulled over for no reason whatsoever. And the more that I think about it now over the years, the more I realize, hey, you know, in that brief exchange in which time I gave that officer no good information, after he pulled me over for no good reason, what was the one discernible thing that he walked away knowing about me without any shadow of a doubt? And I'm not necessarily saying that he was fishing for somebody to abuse in the middle of the night or whatever, but I'm just saying it dawns on me that I don't have to worry about that stuff. And there are a lot of Americans who do have to worry about that stuff because it is their reality, and a reality so many of us cannot relate to, cannot understand. And one of those people who obviously were exemplify that was George Floyd. George Floyd, call it what it was, George Floyd was murdered. He was murdered in the street. He had a knee to his neck, perhaps multiple knees, depending on the video angle that you are looking at. And he was killed. He was murdered in the street. He had a knee to his neck for, it's been reported, 8 minutes and 46 seconds. I'm not a mathematician, but I do have a calculator app on my computer, and that equates to 526 seconds. If you don't think that is murder, do me a favor. Take a step back and count to 526 Mississippi. And you tell me that's not a decision being made, a decision being remade, and a decision being confirmed to not take life-saving inaction against a man who is pleading for his life. That this was simply murder. There is no way around it. This was an officer murdering a man in the street while three other officers were there who did nothing about it. That is 1, 2, 3, 4 broken moral compasses on the scene. And it is tragic, and it is happening way too much. If you don't think this is a racial issue, you are being profoundly, profoundly naive, in my opinion. This does not happen to white people, okay? I know there are statistics being bounced around by various internet provocateurs about how just as many, if not more, white people get killed by police officers every year. Come on. I mean, this does not happen to white people. If you think it does, go find me a story of a man kissing the curb in the street, a white man kissing a curb in the street and having his life taken from him while he's begging for his life. Go find me an example of a white man who is killed for passing a bad bill or choked out on a street corner for selling cigarettes. It does not happen to white people. It is absolutely positively a issue related to race. It is an issue related to class. It is a issue related to the inequalities in this country, be it racial, be it economic, be it whatever. It is an issue with the police. There are thousands, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, I don't know the exact numbers, of police officers in this country who are wonderful people, who are doing it for the right reasons. They are moral, ethical people. They are pillars of our community. They are doing it for the right reasons. They are what we should all aspire to be. There is a retired police officer in my extended family. He's one of the best men I know. My daughter's basketball coaches a few years ago were both police officers, lovely, wonderful people, outstanding human beings. I have no question they are in this for the right reasons. They take their responsibilities very, very seriously. They are important members of the community. It sickens me to my stomach to know that the people I just mentioned might be in a little bit more danger. Their reputations might be a little bit more sullied because of the actions of the bad actors that occur in police work. The bad actors that occur in all walks of life, but are especially visible, especially apparent in police work. The police have to change. The police have to stop killing black people in the streets. The bad police have to stop killing black people in the streets. Police need to become more connected to their communities. If you ask me, I don't have all the answers to this question. I just know that this is an issue tied to race. It absolutely positively is an issue tied to race. There is a project going on, a concrete project in my neighbor's yard. I apologize for that sound right now, but this is an issue related to police. A powder keg that comes with the fact there are bad actors in all walks of life. There are bad bankers, there are bad investment people, there are bad restaurateurs, and there are bad police. And it is tragic that the bad police overshadow the work of the good police, and it is tragic that we're in this position now where we are experiencing this societal crisis that has been going on for far too long, but somehow hasn't necessarily been in the spotlight until the smartphone came along. The smartphone, the single most effective arbiter of justice in our country these days, unfortunately. You know, what's going on right now is really unfortunate. I understand completely that there are outside, again, provocateurs, I'm going to continue to use that word, bussing in from all over the place to exacerbate these issues. But I do understand there is outrage in the streets. There is the definition of counterproductivity, which is to say that burning down your own house to make a point doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But I also acknowledge the fact that when people run to the internet to say you're doing it wrong to people who are victims and people who are outraged, what they are not doing is they're not saying, this isn't going to work, but here's something that might work. They're not saying that. They're just criticizing the reaction. I do remember an election not all that long ago when a lot of outraged white people exercised their voice and got the change they wanted. We all pursue change within the means that we have access to. And there are a lot of voices in this country that do not get heard. And sometimes they seek an opportunity to be heard, no matter how that voice may be amplified. It is unfortunate that we have going on what's going on right now. It is unfortunate that people are making it worse. It is unfortunate that the leader of the free world is cheering on chaos from the sideline. But it is unfortunate what is going on in our cities. It is unfortunate what is going on in our country. It is just unfortunate, period. And America needs to be better than this. We just simply need to be better than this. This is not just about George Floyd. This is about a lot of stuff that's been going on before George Floyd. This is about everything that's been going on with the pandemic. This has not been a great couple of months for America, shall we say. What it is starting to look like to me, and pardon the terrible comparison here, this is starting to look to me like this is what the Joker tried to do to Gotham. This is people getting torn apart, people getting turned against one another, institutions being torn down. It is not good. It is not good, and we need to be better than this. Where does it start? Well, it is extremely trite for me to say, because I obviously am not the victim here, but I do think we are all victims here. But it can sound so empty coming from a white guy. You know what I mean? And that's what I meant before when I said I don't want to be co-opting anyone's outrage here. But I just wish, and I'm trying to make sure you understand that this is as genuine as can be. I didn't want to do the notes app stuff on Twitter, because that just seems so scripted, and I didn't want this to come off that way. I do think that, you know, when you have a platform and you have something to say, sometimes there are times where it's best. It's your social responsibility to say them. Black people, African Americans, ask for equal rights, equal access, whatever it may be, and they demand it. But things aren't going to change wholesale simply by affected communities asking or demanding for it. It is going to start with everybody asking and demanding it. It starts with me. It starts with you. It starts with people who are different from the people who are most affected by this. And that's why I think we all need to be speaking out here. This is a deal where, look, I'm not going to apologize for being a white guy. I had no say in the matter. But I'm also not going to turn a blind eye to the fact that I grew up, you know, fortunate. I grew up with a lot of advantages. I grew up with access to relative wealth. I grew up with access to outstanding education. I grew up with equal access to a healthcare system that has saved my ass on more than one occasion. And not everyone is so fortunate. And I think a lot of people like me need to keep that sort of thing in mind, not only to remind themselves of how fortunate they are, but also to remind themselves or educate themselves about the inequality that exists in that country. Because it starts with all of us. You know, this doesn't make me Father of the Year. This doesn't make me some sort of beyond reproach human being, but there is one guiding principle my daughter's heard me talk about over the years, and it's this: nobody is better than us, and we are better than nobody, and we are all in this together. That is the way I think that is reality. I think that is what I believe, that is what I want my daughter to grow up believing, and that is what I wish everyone kind of looked at. I wish we understood each other better. I wish people from certain parts of the country understood people from other parts of the country better. I wish people in the other part of the country understood people in the other part of the country. I've completely lost control of that sentence, but I hope you know what I mean. The coasts need to understand the heartland better. The heartland needs to understand the coasts better, and so on. I think, we need to listen to people we don't agree with. We need to try to understand people we don't understand or don't know. And we need to understand that we are all in this together. We are all Americans, and we all want what's best for this country. We need to worry more about what we should do as opposed to what we can do. We have unbelievable freedoms in this country. We have unbelievable resources in this country. And to quote, I guess, Spider-Man's grandfather, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. And I am all over the comic book stuff today. But I just think that, you know, we need to be better. We need to understand one another better. We need to care for one another better. And we just need to be aware of things. We need to look at the world for what it is, and not what we think it is, not what we want it to be, but for what it is. And we need to look at the pressure points, and we need to do what we can at an individual level to make things better for not just us, but the people around us. trying to think of what else I wanted to say here. I can't really remember what else I wanted to say. I don't write down notes for these things. Or I don't write down very many notes for these things, but I did want to say a couple words here about George Floyd, and 20 minutes later, here we are. I do consider this to sort of be my social responsibility when you have a platform and you have something to say. If it's something that could conceivably help, I think you should say it. I think I am not an important person. I think that very few of us in this world are as important as we like to think we are. My voice is not an important one in the grand scheme of things, but I think my voice in conjunction with thousands, millions, whatever it may be, like me, I think that's a hell of a place to start here. I would say that I'm sorry if this made you uncomfortable, but I'm not really, because I think we all need to be uncomfortable at times. As I said before, again, we will be back tomorrow with more hard-hitting Purdue content. Very, very important stuff, like a deep dive breakdown into Purdue's backup cornerback situation or some such thing. We will return to our regularly scheduled program tomorrow. If you are one of those people who are going to come at me with reductive, thoughtless, brainless responses like triggered or woke or stick to sports, please just spare me. It's annoying, and it's stupid, and it's insulting, and it's not helpful. So that's kind of what I got for today. So I hope this was worth your time. I was worth my time because I wanted to get it off my chest. I wanted to exercise, again, what I consider to be my social responsibility to speak up here as someone who covers, as a white guy who covers young black guys for a lot of old white guys. I felt like it was my place here to say a few things, but not just for that reason, but because I think anyone with something to say productive on this matter ought to say it. So thank you for listening, thank you for watching, and thank you for being with us here again today on Monday, June 1st. This has been your goldenblack.com daily quarantine simulcast, and it has once again been brought to you by Fox Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Charters Team Remaxability Plus. I want to remind you once again, if you're looking for a hell of a dinner or to simply support our local businesses, please keep in mind the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, East End Grill, Arnie's, Bruno's, XXX, and the Whitaker Inn. They'd love to hear from you. I'd love for them to hear from you, and we will talk to you guys again tomorrow. Thanks a lot, everybody.